Well, a good Sunday, and welcome. Welcome to Sunday Praise. My name is Bill Craig. I thank you for joining me, and as we go through Sunday Praise today, I just pray that it's a blessing to you, dear friend, and an encouragement. We all need encouragement, don't we? We need to be lifted up sometimes out of our, well, I hope not despair, but discouragement maybe is a milder word. As we look to the Lord and we look to His words, they are an encouragement, His words. He will lift us. He will deliver us. I look at some words in Romans chapter 5. But God demonstrates His own love towards us in that yet while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. I look at the thoughts of while we're yet sinners. Why would Christ die for us while we're yet sinners? You certainly wouldn't want to die for somebody that is deep in sin, would you? No, I know you wouldn't. But Christ died for us, for the whole world. Many, many were deep in sin then and are now. But He died for us. But God demonstrates His own love towards us. And that's a great demonstration, isn't it? That while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Father, we thank You, knowing that our Savior, our Lord and Savior, He knew no bounds, but He knew lots of mercy. Mercy. And He knew we needed mercy more than anything. I ask You to be with those that are listening today. I ask You to bless them, Lord, and lift them up and give them encouragement through Sunday Praise. Thank You for the privilege, and be with me, Lord, and may Your Holy Spirit guide and lead me as I go through Sunday Praise as well, because we can't do it without You, Lord. And we just thank You for the privilege. We thank You in Jesus Christ's wonderful name. I look at some more thoughts. Colossians chapter 1. Love it. Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For He rescued us. Love that word. He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, forgiveness, forgiveness of sins. How did He do that? Well, let's go back into Isaiah 53 and read just a little wee bit. He was oppressed and was afflicted, yet He did not open His mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, like a lamb, and He was broken.
Words cannot describe its beauty as upon the stem it grows, matchless in its glory, the tender little rose. When its petals are broken, its greatest beauty it shows. Broken one day.
Squire Parsons on Sunday Praise, and how sweet, because of Jesus Christ. How sweet is that rose? We read about the rose in Isaiah 53. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. For he was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one with whom men hide their face. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. By his stripes. And there were many on him, friends. Why? Because all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Verse 6. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. And that's in Isaiah chapter 53. And I look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you are healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. And we'll continue on in the Old Testament, Isaiah 53. He was oppressed and was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shears. So he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people, to whom the stroke was due. His grave was assigned with the wicked man, yet he was with a rich man in his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. If he would render himself as a guilt offering, he will see his offspring. He will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. And I look at the last verse. He was numbered with the transgressors, yet he himself bore the sins of many and interceded for the transgressors. He paid it all, my friends, for you and I. Paid the price. He was a wounded Messiah. They didn't realize at the time, well, some did, many did, that he was the Messiah that came into the world to save the world. Not to judge it at the time, but he will judge it one day, my friends. Lifted up was he to die. It is finished, was his cry. Now in heaven, exalted high. Hallelujah! What a Savior! It is the Father's joy to bless. His love has found for me a dress, a robe of spotless righteousness, O Lamb of God, in thee. A robe of righteousness. And I look at a song by Squire Parsons as well. And dear friends, you can wear that robe one day as well. It's called A Beautiful Robe.
I received the invitation to the banquet of the Lord, but I could never stand before him. His beauty I could not afford. For I looked down at my garments, so soiled and stained by sin. I knew that in his sacred presence I could never enter in. Then my kind and loving Savior heard my cry of deep despair. Then he said, I'll give unto you my own robe to wear. You can rest within this promise that the Father that day you stand before him, and my old garment he sees. Jesus gave me a beautiful robe to wear, love beyond all measure, his garment to gave me his very own robe to wear. Spotless and holy, beauty far beyond compare. For Jesus gave me his very
Jesus gave me his own robe to wear. And I look at some verses in Matthew chapter 22. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. And he sent out his servants to call those who had been invited to the wedding feast, and they were unwilling to come. Again he sent out other servants, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatted livestock are all butchered, and everything is ready. Everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they paid no attention and went their way, one to his own farm, another to his business." Indifference. "And the rest seized his servants and mistreated them and killed them." Rebellion. "But the king was enraged, and he sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and set their city on fire. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main highways, and as many as you find there, invite to the wedding feast.' And those servants went out into the streets and gathered all they found, both evil and good, and the wedding hall was filled with dinner guests. But when the king came in to look over the dinner guests, he saw a man sitting there who was not clothed in wedding clothes. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you come in here without wedding clothes?' The man was speechless. Then the king said to the servant, 'Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.' All who respond to the call to the wedding feast are chosen." Those are the chosen ones, my friend. There's no special ones that are chosen. Those are the chosen ones, the ones that respond. If you respond, well, you've been chosen. I look at John chapter 10. Jesus said, "I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved, and he will go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." There's only one way to come in, through him. He said to them in verse 7 of chapter 10 of John, "I am the door. I am the door of the sheep. I am the way." He's the good shepherd. He said, "I know my own, and my own know me." There's only one way in, because Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And there's one way, through him. Through him, my friend. And I think of wedding clothes. John said, "What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. This is the message that we have heard from him and announce it to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, he himself is the light, and we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves." Oh boy, aren't we? "And the truth is not in us. He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Faithful. Isn't that marvelous? He is faithful if we come to him as what we are, sinners. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And I go into the last book of the Bible. I was thinking of wedding clothes, verse 7 and verse 8 of Revelation chapter 19. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen. There you go. Fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. The marriage supper of the Lamb. True words of God, my friend. And that was Squire Parsons doing two songs there. The Broken Rose we started off with, and the second one was The Wedding Clothes. And I think of that blood, my friends, that happened at that cross. It never loses its power, you know? Never, never, never. So wonderful.
For sin that made my Savior bleed, I hang my head in shame. Yet for the cleansing that I need, that precious blood I claim. The stripes by which my Savior bled bring healing, this I know. The blood that stained his garments red washed mine as white as snow. Washed mine as white. Listen to what our Savior did for us on the cross. The harvest of the sin I've sown, he reaped at Calvary. And then he sowed a field of his own and willed it all to me. The stripes by which my Savior bled bring healing, this I know. The blood that stained his garments red washed mine as white as snow. Oh, it washed mine as white as snow. The sun could sooner cease to shine and keep to itself its rays than can this thankful heart of mine come bursting forth in praise. The stripes by which my Savior bled bring healing, this I know. The blood that stained his garments red washed mine as white as snow. Oh, it washed mine as white as snow.
How many have been washed tonight and not ashamed of it?
Washed mine as white as snow.
Imagine having your sins washed away. As white as snow. There's nothing whiter than snow, my friend. Anything over and above that in whiteness is transparent. Jesus tells us in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. You talk about a reasonable statement. I mean, the Lord of glory, who created heaven and earth, asking us, his creation, to come and reason with him. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. White as snow! Wow! Though they are red like crimson, they'll be like wool. That was Kim Hopper there singing. And if you find yourself, friend, drifting, losing touch with God, that personal light and hope, I find when that happens, go to Matthew chapter 27, and there's other places in all the Gospels, but go there and wrap your arms around that chapter. I'm not going to read the whole thing, because it's all about the crucifixion, but I'll just read a few verses at the end of it. Some of those who were standing there when they heard, who heard it began saying, "This man is calling for Elijah." He was saying, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Immediately one of them ran, and taking a sponge, he filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed, and gave him a drink. He didn't drink from it, because it tells us in verse 34, same chapter, he was unwilling to drink it. But the rest of them said, "Let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice, and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two, from top to bottom. And the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now the centurion and those who were with him, keeping guard over Jesus, when they saw the earthquake and the things that were happening, became very frightened and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God. Truly, this was the Son of God." Many women were there looking on from a distance, who had followed Jesus from Galilee while ministering to him. Among them was Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. And of course they went the first day of the week. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave, and behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, and for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled the stone away. Yes, it's rolled away. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. There we are again. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said." He has risen, just as he said. He said also in the Gospel of John, he said, "It is finished. It is finished." And the receipts for taxes found in the papyri have written across them the single Greek word, which means paid in full. Paid in full. It is finished. And that's the price of our redemption from sin, was paid in full by the Lord's death. And my friend, the only thing that can save you is the blood of Jesus Christ. By the way, my name is Bill Craig, and you're listening to Sunday Praise, and glad to have you with me today and on Sundays. Well, you don't even have to wait till Sunday. You can go to sundaypraise.ca and you'll find past programs if you want to catch up on them. I just thank you. And you're listening on Joy Radio. And back to the story, the best story in the world. The only story that means anything. The only story that'll mean something when we pass from this world, my dear friend. The only story is Jesus Christ. Because there's no other power that can bring hope to man other than Jesus Christ. Walt Mills up next, and only the blood.
Sinners were crying, lost on their way. Souls were dying, trying to find escape. The price of redemption was blood sacrifice. So on Calvary's altar, Jesus died. Only the blood, only the blood can save the sinner's soul and set him free. No other power can bring hope to man. Only the blood of the Lamb. I deserve judgment for the crime of sin. God gave his Son, and judgment began. A hammer and three nails beat out mercy's sound, so I could go free as the blood flowed down. Only the blood, only the blood can save the sinner's soul and set him free. And no other power can bring hope to man. Only the blood of the Lamb. No other power can bring hope to man. Only the blood of the Lamb.
What a great truth in that song. No other power can give hope to man. No other power. None, my friend. None. Zero. When you're passing from this world, if you don't have Jesus Christ, you're doomed. Imagine being without Christ, a Christless world, forever. And you'll get there and you'll just say, oh, there was thousands of red flags in front of me. People told me about Jesus, but I wouldn't pay attention. I wouldn't listen. I read from Hebrews chapter 10. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place, by the blood of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, he paid the way, my friend. It's all through the blood. He did it by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. He who promised is faithful. Only the blood. No other power can bring hope to man. There's nothing. You can go through this world and, oh, you can work all you want to try and get into heaven and try and be a good person, and within a few days you'll realize, boy, oh boy, where did those awful thoughts come from? You know, but it's only the blood. It's only the blood that gives us the right standing in front of Jesus Christ. What's eternal life? It is knowing God personally. Do you know him personally, my friend? Not just knowing about him. Lots of people say, oh, I believe. But having a personal relationship with him through faith in Jesus Christ. We cannot know the Father apart from the Son, because he is the way, the truth, and the life, And no man comes to the Father except through the Son. It's not enough to simply to believe in God. This will never save a lost soul from eternal hell. Think of it. In James 2:19, the devils, the demons, they believe and they tremble because they know he's coming back. They know their fate is already predetermined for them. They made their choice. Many religious people say, I believe. The question is, what do you believe? In whom do you believe? Faith and faith will not save you, only repenting. Repenting. Turn to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Turning from your old life, your sinful life. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us. But walking in the newness of life is so important. Becoming a new creation, a new person. How? Being born again. John 3:3 tells us, if you're not born again, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Is it supernatural? You bet it is. You bet it is, my friend. Yes, what Christ does it for you. When you're serious about it, and you want to get right with God, and when you're truly born again, renewed, regenerated, in Him, you can't keep it a secret. You can't. When you truly trust Christ, you'll want others to have the newfound joy you are experiencing. When you're living for Christ and have trusted your life, your all, for Him, you want to reveal Him. Tell others about Him through the power of the Holy Spirit. My friend, you don't even have to teach a true believer how to witness for Christ. You don't have to. They'll want to. Right away, they'll want it. The blood washes us and cleanses us from sin. Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, Revelation 1:5. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. The blood pays for your forgiveness, in whom we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins, Ephesians 1:7. The blood makes peace with God, and having made peace through the blood of cross, by Him to reconcile all things to Himself. And that's what we should be doing. And I look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that's so important, be in Him, my friend. He is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them. Romans 5:8, I read earlier, while we were still dead in our trespasses, Christ died for us. And He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors. That's what I'm doing here today. I'm an ambassador because I know Jesus Christ. I love Him and He paid the price for me. So I'm an ambassador as though God were making an appeal through. And we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Dear friends, I spend a bit of time every week. I don't ask for money. I don't get paid for this. I don't want any money. I consider it such a privilege to be able to do Sunday praise and point you towards the truth. And I look at Him. He made Him who knew no sin. We saw that in Isaiah 53 earlier. To be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God. He paid it all. He paid it all, my friends. And you look in Ephesians, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And it's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. You accept a gift and you thank Him for it. You'll thank Him every day for it so that no one may boast. We are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand because He knew us from the foundation of the world so that we would walk in them. And I look at a short story here. A friend says to me, I have no time or room in my life for Christianity because it's so full. You don't know how hard I work, he says, from morning till night. When do I have time? When do I have room for Christianity in such a life as mine? It is as if the engine had said, there's no room for the gas. As if the tree said, there's no room for the sap. It is as if the ocean said, I had no room for the tide. It is as if the man had said, he had no room for his soul. Isn't that a sad statement? It is as if the life has no room to live. It's not something added to your life, my friend. It is your life. A man is not living without him, Jesus Christ. For a man to say, I am so full in life that I have no room for life. Crazy, isn't it? No room for life. You see immediately what absurdity it reduces itself to. No room for life. I was talking about the demons earlier, fearing God. The man says, I met a gentleman here in North America who was over here to study law and languages. He was from India. He went over to Paris and he got involved with a spiritist and was much used. He got involved in demonism. He was much used as a medium. And he was then converted to God. This is interesting. The evil spirits distressed him for months and months after that because they didn't want him to come to Christ. They lost the soul, but they wanted the soul to go to hell. And night after night, he could rarely get a half an hour's sleep. Couldn't get a consecutive night's sleep. He said tangible hands touched him, and terrible manifestations of their presence afflicted him. He prayed to God. He got no relief. At last, he heard God's voice. It seemed to say to him, mention the blood. Mention the blood of Christ. He then spoke to them, commanding them by the precious blood of Jesus to leave him. Leave him alone. Every time he mentioned the blood, they left him. And by that means, this might help you, my friend. Maybe you were involved in the occult. Don't know. But this might help you. They left him. He gained complete deliverance by the blood. Blood of Jesus Christ. Only the blood. I look at this next song I have for you, my friends. The name of the song is Only Believe. It's an interesting song. We just found it. I couldn't get over how much scripture there was in this song. Don Potter sings it. It's a different version of Only Believe than the old version you probably know, but it's very interesting. And so we're going to walk through it and try and find all the scripture. Well, I've already pre-found it, shall we say, looked it up. We'll go through it. Just show you how much scripture there is in there. And it's wonderful that, I don't know who wrote the song, that they had so much scripture to go by. And just enjoy it so much. And I hope you enjoy it, friend, because we picked it out just for you.
Thinking about going home. I've been pondering this in my time alone. I know that sounds just like hopelessness. Much greater than my will, and then from the night comes a sound from his holy hill. I am a high and holy God, and I live in a holy place. Yeah.
your spirit would surely faint, and your breath would cease to be. And I will heal your land and restore what the locust did eat. I comfort her more. Only believe. I've been hearing reports, many will fall, even precious ones. The sovereign call. There's so many voices saying what you believe. I need the spirit of truth to start talking to me. The high and holy God that he lives in a holy place with those who have a humble heart, that he might revive one day, and he will not contend forever, for his
Only believe, only believe, only believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Very interesting song, isn't it? As I listened to it, I had to listen to it a couple times, of course, and then I copied down some scripture, and I looked at the scripture, and I find it very fascinating, the scripture he picked and chose to, I don't know if he wrote it, but whoever wrote it. I look at, and you can relate this to today, my friends, I look at Isaiah chapter 5, verses 20 and 21. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness. Are we there today? And then, of course, in John 14:6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way to get to the Father. But then go back into the Psalms again. It was Isaiah I was in, but in Psalm 3, chapter 3, verse 4 says, I was crying to the Lord with my voice, and he answered me from his holy mountain. He answered me. And the King James Version says, from his holy hill. Then I look at Isaiah 57. You'll probably find more scripture than I could find here if you listen to it. What you could do is go to sundaypraise.ca, and then you could stop it, and then listen to it, and then listen to it again, and pick out more scripture even. I'm sure you can. I look at Isaiah 57, verses you already probably know. For thus says the High and Exalted One, who lives forever, whose name is holy. I dwell on a high and holy place, and also with you, my friend, when you have a contrite and lowly spirit, in order to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. You'll find that in there as well. And then I go back into Job chapter 34, verses 15 and 16, and he talked about flesh and breath. All flesh, just imagine, if he should, God himself should determine to do so, if he should gather to himself his spirit and his breath, all flesh, everything, not just humans, all flesh would perish together, and man would return to dust. Yes. And then he's also got him in talking about healing the land. And he says, and my people who are called by my name, and I'm in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, called by my name, humble themselves, that's what we have to do, and pray, that's what we have to do. How do you start a revival? With yourself, my friend, and myself. Humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. 2 Chronicles. And then he talks about what the locust would eat. And that's in Joel chapter 2, verse 25. Then I'll make up to you for the years that the swarming locust has eaten. And another way of putting that is for the years, the wasted years that you walked away from God and you come back to him, or somebody's pointed you back. I hope Sunday Praise points you back that way to him. And then you'll have what the swarming locust ate up. You'll have it back. Some more verses here. And as we carry on, because of that song, Only Believe, all the scripture in there, I'd like to point out different ones. I look at Matthew 5, verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And then we look at Mark chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. And Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the boy's father cried and said, I do believe. Help my unbelief. Nothing wrong with asking for that. Help my unbelief. Because there's days we just don't have a strong faith, do we? So ask. There's nothing wrong. And then I go into Matthew verse 24, verses 4 and 5. And Jesus answered and said to them, see that no one misleads you or deceives you. There we are. And this is the signs of the end of the age. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead you. And then we go into, he talked about the false preachers and whatnot. And we find that in 2 Timothy. He said, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. So important, my dear friends, to read your Bible. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and they will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. And I think we're all called to be evangelists, not on a great scale, but on a small scale, like myself here on the radio, a form of evangelism. But then I look at some other verses. He talked about the spirit of truth. In John chapter 14, it says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, and he may be with you forever. That is the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. And then I go into 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 says, but the Spirit explicitly says that in later times, some will fall away from the faith. And he talked about that in the song. Some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons, by means of the hypocrisy of liars seared in their own conscience with branding irons. And as I was saying earlier, dear friend, you go into sundaypraise.ca, and then you can listen to the song and you can stop it. And you'll find more scripture as you listen to the song. I only listened to it 2 times and we found all this. But it says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 as well, for as this we see, this we labor and strive, because we have fixed our hope on the living God. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ, who was raised from the dead, who is the Savior of all men, especially of believers. And then he says, verse 11, prescribe and teach these things. Of course, the song, the name of the song is Only Believe. And then Paul says to Timothy, let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. Those who believe. Isn't that marvelous to have a song that has so much scripture in it, Only Believe? And I hope you enjoyed it, friends, because I picked it out for you. I look in Philippians chapter 2. It's such a wonderful chapter that I want to read part of it. Therefore, if there's any encouragement, and I pray, dear friends, that Sunday Praise is an encouragement to you, any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation of love, and I do love you dearly, I pray that today's program is an encouragement to you. If there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but for also for the interest of others. Others, very important word. And the epitome of humility, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of man, being found in appearance. Always remember, he is God. He was still God when he was here on earth in the form of a man, but he didn't exercise his will. He emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of man, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And my dear friends, I highly recommend you do it now, because you'll be doing it later. You'll be bending your knee one day after you pass this world. If you don't do it now, you'll do it later, and then be sent to the wrong place, and that's eternal fire. But dear friends, bow the knee now, bow the heart, humble the heart, ask Christ into your heart, ask him to forgive you of your sins, and he will. And dear friends, my name is Bill Craig, and you've been listening on Sunday Praise on Joy Radio. And dear friends, I love you so much. That's why I bring you this message every week, and want you to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the way, truth, and the life. There's no other way. There's no other way of going but through him. As I said, every knee will bow, and we may as well do it now. God bless you. I love you. And Lord willing, we'll be here again next week. Come back and see us.
The whole world did not bow when the water turned to wine, and not everyone would worship him when he gave sight to the blind. Out of all the miracles performed, how could anyone deny? No one said he's King of Kings when the crowd cried, crucify. But one day every knee shall bow in honor to the King, and every tongue confess that he is the Lord of everything. So the choice is yours to make. Then or do it now. But one day every knee shall bow. Every knee shall bow. There are those who don't believe, and some who still deny is the Son of God, and his word is all of
Oh.